Rockies 102.9, The Hog presents another Bob and Brian podcast.
This Bob and Brian On Demand is brought to you by Mountain Dew. Mountain Dew exhilarates and quenches with its one-of-a-kind great taste. Mountain Dew, this is how we do.
And now, saving up his pennies to buy NASCAR.
What?
Steve Zabit!
All right, let's go ahead and do this thing. If the Franz family is really going to sell their left-turn circuit, well, then let's buy the thing. Come on. Let's buy it. Let's shine it up. Let's make stock car racing
great.
Why
would I buy a failing enterprise?
Why is it failing?
The time.
Let's make Marcus Lemonis do it. He's good at people process. And
buy low, sell high. We're buying a distressed property, Bob. This is like a house that is
like a
fallen
rehab?
Into disrepair. Yes. It's Clint, like fixer-upper.
Yeah.
Sports leagues. When
Chip and Joanna can do it. I don't know that you, the three of us
Chip
can.
Lap will not save NASCAR.
Shiplap does.
Yeah,
really.
You can ring every track with Shiplap, and
how
that's
about if
not
we make,
going to save it.
Wouldn't that be cool? Every track have Shiplap instead of the guardrails.
Why don't you combine, Fixer Upper with Chip and Joanna with the tracks that they race on? And yeah, there should be Shiplap walls. They'd be lovely. They could be painted a little eggshell white. And when they get run into, we'd just repair them. We'd have a repair job on our hands.
Put some barn doors here and there.
Oh, barn doors and shiplap.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you're going to have to repurpose a bunch of stuff.
You're going to have to move walls, open up some spaces.
Dead on. Yeah. You've seen
Dover.
Your...
Wait a minute. Got to go. I mean, then, that track.
And then,
fine.
And then about,
a bigger.
About a third of the way into this wonderful renovation, a problem, Brian, will arise. Something that was unforeseen.
Unforeseen. That happens.
A glitch, a hitch, a whoa, a wow, a oh my God, what are we going to do? And then it'll resolve. And you'll be like, oh, and da 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 da. And look at this. It's almost like there's a formula to those shows or something, right?
That happens in the car rebuilding shows, too.
Right. It happens in every reality show because the basic concept of any good story on television or in the movies is plot, development, complication, resolution, happy ending. Right?
Yeah, conflict, character development, resolution. Sure, it's like music. It's got to be tension and release.
There has to be complication. And so the only complication they have in any of these reality shows is supposedly, oh, no, there's a pipe here that we can't move.
What like when Urkel and the big guy would get into a fix when it seems simple enough, but then they would be locked up somehow and they would have to figure a way out.
Gilligan, every time.
The Brady
every
Bunch.
Show.
Jim Backus locked him up, left him for dead in a ghost town out west.
Sometimes it would take a two-parter.
Sure, but there's got to be some sort of, they've got to make you care somehow.
Right, exactly.
If they don't do that, then you have nothing. And you care about the Gaineses when you watch. And we need people to care about NASCAR again. That's what we need.
Yeah.
Because Lowe's, when Lowe's waves goodbye to Jimmy Johnson, when they pull their sponsorship, which
that's
they've
what
done.
They did?
They're leaving.
Did not know that.
Yes. They're
wow.
Here.
That's big.
Evidence of decline doesn't have, you don't have to look very far, any further than Lowe's leaving Hendrix Racing and Jimmy Johnson as their title sponsor.
Wow.
That is the you
by
don't...
the way, on the complication front, before we get into that, and that's a huge development, and we'll figure out NASCAR in a second. It reminds me of the Stewie Griffin clip from Family Guy where he's explaining the basics of any good song with the G chord. You remember that one?
God, she's so hot. Look at that. She can fit that whole bottle in her mouth. All right, come on, Stewie. You can write a song. How hard can it be? You got your G chord right here. It's like your cozy house where you live. That's where you start your journey. Here I am in my house, nice and cozy. And then you poke your head out the door with a C chord. Everything looks okay out here. Maybe I'll take a walk outside. To the D chord. Oh, walking around outside. Look at all the stuff out here.
Here we go.
And then we go to an A minor.
Uh-oh. Oh, boy, the A minor.
A little cloudy out here. Looking like we might have some weather. Then we go to E minor. Oh, definitely got some weather. Things are a little more complicated than they seemed at first. And then we go back to my house.
You sound like an unbelievable douche.
Am I wrong? That's the basics of every reality show.
No, you're
like,
right.
Hey, we're going to fix this place up. We're so happy. This is great. Oh, no, we've got problems. Oh, no, it's going to cost a lot of money. But then we figured it out, and here's your house.
The Deadliest Catch, too.
Sure, that's Storage Wars. That's everything.
By the way, Deadliest Catch, so sad. I started watching this year's shows, and it's clear they have a new executive producer who has demanded the show be shot and semi-scripted in a more traditional reality show manner, and it's terrible, Brian.
Okay.
Bob, have you watched the new season?
I have, yeah, sure.
Do you not notice that...
There's a definite difference in the way the show is produced.
Thank you.
No doubt about it.
I haven't seen... I don't know what I'm watching whenever I see Deadliest Catch because they go back season so much and rerun so much.
Right to the graphics they pop up on, what their quota is, how many pounds they've got on board, and what percentage they have to get yet. It's like a scoreboard on the boat all the time.
And they're forcing the main guys to say more establishing stuff. Like Jake's like, I'm going to go over and talk to Sig about this. I really need to get this sorted out before we leave shore. Whereas before, you wouldn't have the characters saying that. You would have had Mike Rowe, the narrator, saying, this is what's happening.
But old Keith Coburn, that's his name, right? Keith on
Wizard.
The Wizard. He is just as big a hothead as ever.
Well, that's the thing. These guys are
just
genuine hotheads.
Just a lunatic when he...
Last I saw, he was being very pleasant to Jake.
Well, he wasn't being very pleasant to his brother Mouse because Mouse put four pots in the wrong place. Did you see this?
Monty, what are you doing,
Monty? His nickname is Mouse.
I know.
Oh, yeah, right. He puts 10, apparently, in the ditch.
And he screams at him.
It gets so blown out of proportion that not only is he going to be on deck and not captain or pilot the ship, even when Keith needs to take a nap, he's going to cut him by a half a percent, take half a share away from him.
How many brother setups are in that show?
Well, the Hansons.
A lot of them.
Hansons, three on Coburns.
And since when did the Hillstrands leave the show?
When Jonathan retired last year.
They were. The Harrises were a whole family, right?
Yeah, but now we're down to just one.
So the Time Bandit's not on the show anymore.
I don't think so, no.
And nobody else from the Time Bandit can carry the Time Bandit legacy?
Maybe they just wanted out. Maybe they were just done with it.
What?
Andy wasn't even on the show anymore. It was just Jonathan
wanted
the last 2 years.
Out from being a millionaire reality TV star when you would otherwise just be a crabber. Who would want out from that?
You could die. Your ship could flip over and you
could
die.
Oh, you're saying be out as a crabber.
Right. Yeah, okay. Maybe they're just out of the business.
Okay.
I don't know. Andy hasn't been on the show in a couple of years.
I don't know. Fishing is in those family's bloodlines. They're not. What are they going to do? Become a captain?
I don't know. Every one of those guys said Jonathan will be back. So maybe he's taken. Maybe he'll be back next year. I don't know. The Cornelia Marie's back this year. It wasn't out last year.
According to realityblurred.com, Jonathan Hillstrand hasn't even really retired.
Really?
Well, what do you have to do?
Salmon and snook in the summer. We just don't know it, right?
Here are other sponsors that have left NASCAR, Steve. Home Depot, Target, Subway, Dollar General, and now Lowe's.
That's called all of them. There's nobody left now, basically.
Drivers that's still in their prime that recently left NASCAR, Jeff Gordon, Carl Edwards, Tony Stewart, Matt Kenseth, all former champs, Junior retiring. There was a huge fan base.
And let's back up a second. First of all, I'm not questioning you. Where did you get this from?
My NASCAR spotter expert.
Oh, okay.
These are all just facts. These are all things.
So let's tick off the sponsor. Now, when you say that these sponsors have, quote, left NASCAR.
They have pulled their sponsorship from cars. That's millions of dollars a year that aren't flowing in to these teams.
Are they
teams.
Reducing the number of cars they're sponsoring?
Gone.
Are they still participating at all in NASCAR? Like, that's what I want to know. When your guy says, well, Lowe's has left NASCAR.
Right.
You're telling me there's no trace of Lowe's anywhere in NASCAR, not at the track level, not at the broadcast level, not at the car sponsorship level. That's what I want to know.
So you want to know exactly what
Well, I just want to know if they've left or if they've scaled back. Because if a company has scaled back, it's possible they could scale back up again when conditions change. If they get out altogether, that's a pretty strong statement of, yeah, we're not doing this anymore.
Well, how hard is it to come back with millions of dollars to something like this?
I think
they'd say, no, you made your decision. You're out.
Perhaps
you can never come back.
Perhaps it's a distinction without a difference, but it's still something I'm curious about.
Okay.
And I'll do more digging on this today.
Tony Stewart's doing running in dirt tracks and filling the stands.
Okay, let's go back. Go back to the sponsors again that have left.
Okay, you ready?
Yep.
Okay, those that have left recently. You got your Home Depot, Target.
They totally pulled out.
Subway and Dollar General, along with Lowe's, just announcing that they'll be gone soon.
Target says it's going to sponsor
on
soccer.
Okay.
Target's gone over to soccer, so they're out of NASCAR. Okay.
All right. And then the drivers who have retired include Dale Jr., the big one.
Right, that's huge.
Yeah.
Jeff Gordon, Carl Edwards, Tony Stewart, Matt Kenseth. And Danica has a huge fan base. She, you know, looks at the race from 34th position all the time, but still. But
that has to be accounted for.
Yeah, huge fan base. And they are out of NASCAR.
Well, then I guess pretty soon NASCAR will just cease to exist.
There's a for sale sign out in front of it.
All right, let's make NASCAR great again.
Okay, how?
Go to the phones.
Go to the phones. Nobody's watching. Nobody cares anymore. Nobody's going to talk NASCAR.
I bet you get four good NASCAR calls right now. I know your fans, your listeners.
866-BOB-AND-BRIAN,
yes.
414-799-1029. There you go.
Did you have Dollar General on your list?
Did. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's get four good calls on how to make NASCAR great again. What is it? Is it letting the cars actually race and lifting some of the restrictions on how they perform? This Car of Tomorrow apparently was a big disaster that the NASCAR tried to roll out. They did it to try to save money, to try to suppress teams from spending all this money on engine development. One of the things that if you want, you know, more people in the sport and you want, you know, it to be a healthy sport, you can't be so dependent on corporate dollars. Because if you have cars that each cost, I don't know how much does a race car cost?
Oh, man.
$10 million each?
Ooh, maybe.
To run for the year, you mean?
No, just a copy of the car.
Not $10 million, no.
Okay.
You're building fighter jets at $10
million. Two, maybe?
$2 million? You think they're that expensive? Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. All right. But there's cost to run it as well. So what do you do? Because they've tried to engineer close races. They've now mucked with the format of races. The television component is another thing. It used to be dependable that NASCAR was on at noon on Sundays.
Right.
And that was good because in the summer, if you're indoors, it's noon, it's hot as a blazes wherever you live, and you want to watch something on sports, it got the first jump on television of any other sport that might come on later in the afternoon,
mm-hmm.
golf, baseball, whatever. They've abandoned that for going to nighttime and prime time and ESPN paying the dollars they do for NASCAR. They say, well, you're going to run your races when we say, and here's when we want them.
Well, here's what I think they need to do. They have to stop crashing and stopping the race at the end of the race and lining them up, and we're going to go two more laps, and, oh, it's another big crash.
Yeah, the green-white checker finishes.
Yeah. We're going to red flag them.
We're way off on the cost, by the way. It's
I know.
Like $150,000.
Per car.
Grand.
Okay.
Yeah. Somewhere there.
Yeah, right. $10 million, $150 grand. I mean, it's close. Let's just agree to disagree, Brian. It's close. I was almost
was
on
close.
That's just like your one all but nine of the last 11.
Good thing I'm not buying a NASCAR vehicle. How much do you want for that? $500 grand? Oh, bargain. A steal. I'm in.
Do you have any more? I'll take two.
I'll take two.
Yeah,
for that.
I brought more. I brought a $2 million with me.
Kind of forgot that, yes, the engine expensive, but everything else is just rebar and sheet metal.
Yeah. All right, you ready to go to the phones?
Yeah, let's do it, man. Let's go.
Right,
make NASCAR great again.
Four good calls, you said.
Four good calls is
all
what
right.
we need.
Go Here we
ahead.
Go. Welcome to the program. Who's this?
This is Brad.
Hey, Brad, how
What's
are you?
What's up, Brad?
I'm wonderful. All right, my ideas, I take those restrictor plates off, go full throttle, and let it rip.
Let it rip. You're serious. This is what you think they should do.
Absolutely.
So corkscrewing into the stands around a corner.
Right. 370 miles an hour. Guys fly out like Bill Elliott flying out of the entire track. Hey, it's the cost of doing business.
More fan involvement.
More
fan.
Okay.
As like they be involved. Like you. Thanks for the call. You could be involved in dying for NASCAR.
Sure.
Okay, still looking for that first good call. Steve said we need four.
That was a good call.
You like that? So take the restrictor plates off. I understand what he means. It's racing again then.
Right.
All right. Welcome to the program. Who's this?
This is Brian.
All right, Brian.
How are you?
Fine, thank you.
So how we can make NASCAR great again is to go back and let the manufacturers be manufacturers. These cookie-cutter cars and, you know, all the BS rules on making the cars all equal. Let them innovate. Let them make the cars better. You know, the old saying was win on Sunday, sell on Monday, but you can't buy the car that's thought out in track.
Okay, go back to actual stock car racing.
Exactly.
Okay.
Go to the Chevy dealership and buy a car.
Right,
and
I can,
Daytona 500 winner, please.
Well, I can go that buy one. I can go buy the car that Cale Yarborough was driving yesterday that I saw on TV if I want to on Monday, right? That was the whole thing.
500 mile, 500 horsepower and lights that work.
Okay. That's what stock cars started out as.
They just had stickers. They had stickers
right,
on fake headlights.
That's all they are now.
Yeah. Right.
All right.
I'm not even sure. Thanks for the call. I'm not even sure they put fake headlight stickers on the cars now.
They do. Look.
I believe they do.
Yeah, they do.
Really?
Yeah. There's the fake headlights.
If you look at the pictures, there's headlights on.
Do they put fake? Do they put fake fake turn signals?
I think there are blinkers on there. They actually some of the cars actually have some side window stickers that have kids in the back seat. I was waiting for Steve to go. Really?
I was like, try. I actually just I found some pictures. I can't believe what I'm looking at here, of a NASCAR vehicle, color photograph, so it's not totally primitive, with what looks like giant steel bumpers on the front and the back.
Bumpers.
Oh yeah.
From the old days, right? It's actually
Oh.
There are old stories, Steve, of kids like adults now talking about going to the race with their dad. Their dad and racing the family car that they went to the ring.
Taped up the wind,
climbing into the back.
Yeah, and then taking it home. You hope your dad didn't smash the car because it was going to take longer to get home if you had to fix it. I've heard those in old NASCAR stories.
I don't think we're going to be able to go back.
Not that far, but that's how it started out. All right, call number three. You ready?
Yeah, let's go.
Do we have two in the bag?
Of course we do. We got plenty in the bag.
Two good ones.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Welcome to the program. Who's this?
This is Tony.
Hey, Tony. How are you?
Good.
Do you love NASCAR, Tony?
I do.
Would you love to see it keep going and kind of get better and have a revival?
It would definitely be worth it.
How are we going to do that, Tony?
I just think they drove it into the ground a little too far. But the biggest thing is to put it back to where it's on the same time, same channel all the time.
That would be a good start, wouldn't it? You'd have to agree to take less money from the TV networks and say, look, we're going back to noon on Sundays. We're going to shorten the schedule. We're not going to race all year damn long.
Exactly.
And, right. And we're gonna award one contract to one broadcaster.
Sure. Because, I mean, you know, back in the day, you knew, like you said, Sunday the race was on at noon. So now this, you know, today... Friday rolls around, it's like, okay, is it Saturday night? Is it Sunday afternoon? Is it
on TBS? You know? Is it on TNT? Is it over on NBC, NBC right. Sportsnet? Or, where the hell is it?
Fox Sports 1.
Right. Right.
And then, like I said, then you get into your premium cable channel, so if you don't have the premium package, you're not seeing it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That kind of covered that, but I agree that I hate having to search for NASCAR. Yeah. Oh, are they racing today? I don't know.
And you know what? Shorten the races. Don't do goofy scoring on the, we're going to cut the race up into three pieces.
Get rid of that
points.
Stage thing.
Yeah.
Right.
Here's another one, and I'm not going to count.
Shorten the races, shorten the season, reduce some of the capacity at the tracks so you can get in and out of a race more easily. In other words, do a strategic retreat. All these things may mean less money immediately, but you need to take a step back to get back to the sweet spot because they've overexpanded and they've overreached on a number of things.
Well, here's another problem, too. They said one huge problem killing racing is mechanical engineering that has come into racing and created expensive technology. Only elite teams with deep pockets can compete.
Okay,
you know, so you're smaller because it used to be
kind of like Formula One, where Formula One requires the most insane budget, the most insane engineers, and guys try to steal secrets from other race teams in Formula One.
Right, like the Wood Brothers. What do they run? Three races a year. You know, they're a smaller outfit. You know.
Yeah.
So
do they still do it?
You don't have the mom and pop operations anymore. You know, there's a couple of guys.
There was something really endearing about, you know, welding the car together in the garage and putting it on the trailer and taking it out to the track.
Brian, are you on your Skype window?
I'm actually looking at the NASCAR schedule right now. But
okay, pop the Skype window up, and I've given you four pictures that you and Bob can take a look at there. And it's amazing what used to be an actual stock car. Look at those things, huh? Look at the bumpers on those on that car there.
Yes, it was the car that rolled off the line in Detroit.
Almost.
Yeah,
I mean,
okay.
It was obviously fortified with struts and tires and engine, but at least the car had similar elements car that you actually bought on Monday.
Yeah, that's like the Cale Yarborough days.
Yeah,
sure.
The Donnie Allison times, all those when they had Miller High Life on the side of their car, stuff like that. Yeah. They were classics. Like they said, you went and bought that car at the dealership the next
pull
day.
Pull the carpet out of them to make them weigh less.
All right, here, next call. You ready?
All right, let's go.
All right, welcome to the program. Who's this?
Hi, my name is Gail.
Hi, Gail.
Where are you calling from, Gail?
East Troy.
All right, you're a big race fan?
Yes, I am. Oh. Been in racing all my life.
All right.
Well, all right, how do we make it better? How do we save NASCAR?
How do we save it?
How do we save it? Go back to the short track, get some drivers with personalities, cut out the segments, just make it green flag.
Okay, so you don't like the stages. You don't think the drivers have...
I think
you want to see another helmets off down on the, on the infield grass, smacking each other like Cale Yarborough's Donnie Allison.
It was one of the Allisons and Cale Yarborough. Yeah, they were there. That was at Daytona, and that was like the first. I think that was the first
TV.
Live.
Yeah, it's like a
Daytona 500, wasn't it? And they're going, and the producers are going, "Oh my God, what is it?" But it was great. It was.
Look
we loved
at those
it.
Rednecks go! Yeah, it's like,
well, that's the thing. They need more rednecks. No one wants to say it, but it's the truth.
Well, they're all like engineers now.
They're pretty boys who have rich daddies who put them in, you know, go-karts at a young age, and they don't know how to fix a damn thing. They've never had their knuckles all greased up on their back fixing the car in their life.
Is that what you're talking about, Gail, when you talk about personality?
Am I right about that?
You just have some personality, not yes men all the time.
Who was your favorite?
Tony Stewart is a perfect example. He's a guy that'll tell it like it is, whether you like it or not.
Right.
Who is?
And now they're corporate robots.
Tony Stewart. Okay.
Corporate robots. They just want to make sure, you know, don't say anything bad to make the sponsors mad.
Who are some drivers that you liked, Gail, besides Tony?
Well, I'm an old-time racer, so I was a big Richard Petty fan.
Okay.
Dave Marcus, Bobby Allison, you know, all the old-time guys. They at least had some personality. They weren't all...
So if you're a fan of the King, did you hate who was his rival, Pearson, back then?
Yeah. No, I didn't hate him.
Okay.
I mean, there was good racing back then when you had them guys racing.
You like the slamming into each other side by side racing down to the
slamming.
No, but they did that. Going to the finish line, it wasn't unusual to watch him tap the other guy to kind of try and get him off his line a little bit, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's where those bumpers came in handy. And all that fold up sheet metal.
It's true.
All right. Well, thank you, Gail.
All right, Gail.
Thanks,
have a crappy day.
Call.
All right.
Are you looking at these pictures?
Yes.
Pictures I'm sending you one after another.
Right.
Spectacular, unique, weirdo looking old.
And look
cars.
How excited you are about seeing those cars. That's what's Steve. That's
who's
part
in
of the,
problem. 74 Stroh's here. Who
I don't know.
This?
It's a great looking Dodge, though, isn't it?
Is that a Dodge Challenger or a Charger?
I don't know, but it looks
like my brother's car, which was a Dodge Charger.
Which is why we love NASCAR. It's like I drive a car like that.
It looks like a Bobby somebody.
And you pulled for the car that looked like your car, the car you liked. you know, or you're a Chevy man, or you're a Ford man, or you're a Chrysler dude, or whoever, you know, but that's all gone.
Yeah.
It's all gone.